Last year, here on Daf Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph, we began the Amud, and let's see if we can make some progress on the Amud. We're still learning the Haggadah to now about the creation of man. We spoke about the fact that Vayitzer is written with two Yuds, and this indicates that man was created male and female, two bodies attached, and then it was separated later on. And that's called Du Partzufin. And we quoted Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, that man was created du partzufin, two faces, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated them, and that's the pasuk in Tehillim, Achar v'kedem tzartani. Now, let's talk about the creation of Chava, and you'll see, if you go down about, say, 10 lines down from the top, you'll see the pasuk Vayiven Hashem Elokim Es Hatzelah, and the rest of the pasuk says Asher Lokach Min HaAdam LeIsha VaYevi'er El HaAdam. So Rav Shmuel, the machlokus of Rav Shmuel, what does it mean Vayiven Hashem Es Hatzelah? Chad Amar, according to one opinion, Partzuf, which means that there was an extra Partzuf. Man, from the beginning of his creation, was created with a second partzuf, and then God separated the two. V'chad omer, according to another opinion, zanov. It wasn't that Chava was a second partzuf, the way we thought it was before, according to the first Madli Omar, but rather it was zanov, that man was created with some sort of a tail. And that's one opinion. And the Maral has a long discussion about this, about these two opinions, as to the creation of man, Vayiven, Hashem Elokim Satzela, and the creation of Eve. Bishlam Leman Diomar Partzuf, if you're going to say that the side here was a figure, perhaps a face, then Hainu Tziv, we understand when it says in Tehillim Achar v'kedem tzartoni, that God, you have formed me from the front and formed me from the back, clearly indicating that man was created as a double figure, back and front. Elamanti Omel Zonov. But if you're going to tell me that the side from which woman was fashioned was a tail, that man was not created as a double figure, but he had a tail. My achar v'kedem tzartoni. What are we going to do with this pasuk in Tehillim? From the back and the front, you have formed me. And the Gemara answers lipuranus. That what this means is that my achar v'kedem tzartoni. Rabbi Ami Domer Rabbi Ami achar l'masa brachus. The Kedem Liparonius, which literally translates as last in creation and first in misfortune. So amongst all the creatures, man was created last, and that's called Tzartoni. Tzartoni is a reference to the creation of man, and man was created last of all the creations. And then we have Puranus. And that means a man is first when it comes to misfortune. Tzartoni can be explained in two ways. It could be Loshen Yetzira, creation. And Yitzarto, the creation of man, was the last of all creations. But it also could mean Tzara, which means that his Tzara, man's anguish, is first. So that Rabbi Ami wants to darshan both of them. If you're going to say that the pasuk means Yitzira, meaning that God created me with a tzur pon of the ochar, then it should have said Kedem v'ochar tzartoni. So therefore he assumes that we should interpret the word tzartoni as well as tzara. Bishlema ochur l'maisa brachus. We understand what Rav Ami means by last of the creation, and that means the low Ibare Ad Maila Shabbos. So because man was created on Friday evening, the last day of the 6 days of creation, so he was last to be created. Ella V'kedem L'Puranios Puranios Demai. What kind of misfortune are we talking about that he was first to misfortune? Elam, if you're going to say it means L'Puranios D'Nachash, meaning the misfortune that was brought about by the sin of man, where he was cursed after the Nachash, and that implies that this is the way God created man, with this tzara, this punishment. Vasanyo, we have a brisa, Rebbe Omer, Bigdola Maschilin, when you have something of Chashivus, Bigdula, then Maschilin in a Gadol, then we start with the most important person in the group, in other words, the person who has the most prominence. Ubiklola, when it comes to cursing, Peronios, Maschilu min akaton, misfortune, we begin with the last prominent person. And he demonstrates this from Vayikra Perek Yud, Vaydabit Moshes El Aaron Vel Lozo Vel Itamar, Bonav Hanosorim. And this is after the death of Nadav Aviu. And Moshe turns to Aaron. He says, "Khu hamincha v'chlu matzos etzal mizbeach." Notice the first command came to Aaron, and then afterwards it says, "Moshe el Aaron," and then it says, "Elazar ve'el Isamar banav hanusarim." So that means that if we're talking about gedula, greatness, then first you start with the greatest of them all, which is so clearly Aaron, and then you get to his children. But how do you know that when you start with Klola, then you start with the Katan, the least prominent of them all? So most fortune begins with a Katan, and that we know from Betchila Niskalel Nachash Ubesof Niskal Chava, that the pasuk says Or Ata Mikol Behema, and then afterwards it says, regarding the Isha, it says Harba Arba Atzmonech, etc. So the Klola began with the Nachash, which is the Katan, and ends with Chava the Gadol. Ulbasof Niskal Adam. Niskalel Adam means that man was cursed as well. Arura Adam Bavurecha, Kotz V'Gazmiya, Bezeh Sapel, etc., etc. So Adam was not the first to be punished. The misfortune starts with the Nachash, and then it ends with Adam. So if that be the case, then we have to reinterpret the statement of Rabbi Ami. It couldn't be that Rabbi Ami meant when he said that man is the first of Puranos, that we could take that literally, because based on the principle, the principle of Rebbe, it wouldn't make sense that Puranis would start with the Gadol. If you're talking about the Puranis the Nachash, that man would be first on the list. The Kadam leParnusa, on the contrary, Nachash should be first, and then we'll have Chava, and then we'll have Adam in that sequence. Ella, but rather Rabbi Ami has in mind Puranis the Mabul, the misfortune of the Mabul, the destruction of the world, which is called the first in Puranios, not the incident of the Chet HaRishon of Eitz Hadas and its aftermath, but rather the Puranios, the destruction of the Mabul, the misfortune of the Mabul. Tichsiv, the pasuk says, Vayimach eskol yikum ashel pnei ha'adoma me'odom ve'ad behema. So when the Torah describes that God, through the Mabul, blotted out all existence from the face of the earth, it says from man to the animal. Is Bereisha Adam V'Hadar Behem. A man comes before the animal. Man was destroyed and then the animals were destroyed. So we see clearly that when we're talking about Puranos, we begin with man. In other words, if everything, all of creation, would have been completely blotted out simultaneously, it would have said all existence on the face of the earth, right? Vayikach es kol hayikum, Ashal Pnei Adam. But then it adds the words Me Adam Ve'ad Behema. That must be, you know, conveying the chronology of their destruction, and God begins the destruction with man, and then he goes on to the animals. So Adam was created last, according to Rabbi Ami, because he was more than just an ordinary creation. He was the very purpose of creation. And just as a banquet is prepared before the guests arrive, the rest of creation was completed and given to man to use constructively even before man was created. Conversely, man's preeminence is also indicated by the fact that he is punished first. Man was punished first to demonstrate that it was his failure, and that's what most angered God, for man is the singular protagonist in the unfolding story of creation. Bishleim Laman Diomer Partzuf, if you're going with the premise that when the Torah says man was created achor, what's the pasuk again? Vayiven, I'm sorry, that man was created achor v'kedem, and that means that they would do partzufim, that's what we call partzuf, and it means that when the Torah says Vayiven Hashem Elokim Hatzela, it means that God created female, meaning the keva, as a kind of a side of partzuf. We can justify the double yuds, and that's what we explained yesterday, that there are two yuds referring to the two partzufim, the male and the female partzufim of Adam and Chava. El l'man d'yomer zonov, if you say it's a zonov, my vayitzer, what do we do with the extra yud? And Rancis kid Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Omer Shimon Pazi, oili miyotzri, oili miyitzri. Woe to me from my creator, woe to me from my evil inclination, which causes me to suffer and to succumb to temptation. That's the yitzer. And then woe to me from my yotzer, from my creator, because I'm falling prey to the powerful allurements and influences of the Yetzer Hara. So that's a double yitzira. We have the yotzer and the yetzer. Bishleim L'man Diomer Partzuf. If we're talking about the opinion that says that the side from which woman was fashioned was some sort of a partzuf, it was a countenance and a body, a figure. Then we understand Haina Desiv Zohar and a cave of Bra'am, that man was created both male and female. El Amad Diomar Zonov, but according to the one who says that it was a tale, meaning that the tzela from which woman was created was not a partzuf, but rather a zonov, his mai zocher nekeva bra'am. What does it mean that he created the male and female? Woman was created later. I mean, all we had first was man with the tail. So Gemara answers, Kid Rabbi Abba, Diom Rabbi Abba, to Rabbi Abba, Rami, he posited a contradiction between two psukim, zocher nekeva bra'am. That man was created both male and female, describing man's creation in the plural, because it says Bra'am Uksiv, but on the other hand it says Ki Betzelem Elokim Bara Asa Es HaAdam, which means that man was created alone rather than Zachar and Nekeva. He didn't create man and woman at the same time, but rather Betzelem Elokim Bara Es HaAdam. Man was created alone. Ha-Ketzad, says Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Avo, how do you reconcile these two psukim? B'tchila ol machshav levros shnayim. He, capital H, thought originally to create two human beings, a male and a female. Basov, but at the end he made a change of heart. He decided nivra, lo nivra ela echad. He only created one, and the second was fashioned from the one, from the first. So what this Gemara means is not that God changed his mind. You know, God is, you know, eternal. He lives in eternity. There's no past. There's no future. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't have to revive his plans to accommodate events. What the Gemara uses, this expression of mitchila olav machshava, for the in order to describe the unfolding of the divine logic of creation. At first it would have seemed that man and woman should be created separately, following the same plan as he adopted for the animal kingdom. And had they been created in this way, they would have lived their lives as separate beings, performing their matings fortuitously, just or mechanically, just like animals do. But in the Chof Elokis, in the divine wisdom, God ordained that man should be created as a single creature. The female was then formed out of the male, and in this way, he would find, and they would find, completion one with the other. This is a very romantic idea, bonding them together more closely, even than a parent and a child. So that's what means Lebasof lo nivra ela echad. And as we said before, there'd be no fear of rejection. Bishleim leman diomer partzuf. If you hold at the side, this tzela from which woman was fashioned was a figure. It was a face. It was a countenance. We understand. Hainu tziv vayisgar basar tachtena, and he filled in flesh in its place. In other words, after removing this figure, this female from Adam's back, in order to create a female, God had to fill in the flesh in its place. El aman diomer zanav. If we're saying that the tzela is a tail, is my, what does it mean? Vayizgar basar tachteno, and he filled in the flesh in its place. Now, since man no longer had that appendage, meaning his zanav was removed, but what did God fill in the place of the zanav? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu v'itaim Rav Zvi v'itaim Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak lo nitzrucha ela lemakom chatach. That this pasuk is not needed for anything except for as it applies to the point of incision. In other words, when Hashem had to remove the tail of man, there was an incision. And that's that incision would be later replaced by flesh. So the Gemara was originally reluctant to understand this pasuk in this way. In other words, the body would naturally heal at any point of a decision. Why then was it necessary for the verse to tell us that God sealed the incision with flesh, if it was just a simple cut? But in truth, however, an incision which heals leaves a scar. So this verse is teaching us that Hashem personally sealed the incision with flesh, leaving Adam, both physically and figuratively, with no scar from this operation. That's pretty amazing. No scar from the operation. The Gemara says now, if we go with the Mandi Omar Partsuf, my Vayiven, well, what's the Vayiven? What does it mean Hashem built? Well, what did he build? I mean, he's just separating man, and you know, both male and female bodies were fully fashioned. All he needed to was to split them and separate them, like Siamese twins are separated. The answer is look at Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, the Darash Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, my Dixiv Vayiven Esatzela Malamin Shekil HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he braided Lechava, Chava's hair, Vevia LeAdam HaRishon. So the first hairdo was Chava's hairdo, and who was her first hairstylist in history of the world was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now he's creating a hairdo for Chava. And after Kola, after he braided her hair, Heviya Eliyadim Arishon, he brings her to Adam Arishon. The Malachim are probably dancing over here. It's the first Sheva Brachos in history. She came Bikrachi Ayom Korin Lekal Isa Benaisa. The word binyan, building, is used overseas, at least, as a braider. A braider is a hair builder. And this, by the way, has implications in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, because one of the Malachos of Shabbos is Bona, and braiding someone's hair on Shabbos might be an Iser Bona, and there is Binyan Begufo Shel Adam on Shabbos. In any event, Dover Acher, another interpretation of Ayiven, Omar Rav Chiz Dovi Amri Levi Masni Setona, Melamed Shebina'a HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava Ki BeBinyan Otsar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built Eve in the shape of a storehouse. What does that mean? Just as a storehouse is narrow on top, wide at the bottom, Kidei lekabel es haperos, is af isha k'tzara milamato, urachava milamala, Kidei lekabel es havlad. Now, what does it mean, Kidei lekabel es haperos, with regard to a storehouse? You know, the storehouse is designated to contain produce, and it's built in a shape such that its contents do not exert too much pressure on the walls. So it's going to be narrow on top and wide at the bottom. Same thing is going to apply to the shape of a woman, and we're really focusing here on the womb of a woman. And it's narrow on top and wide at the bottom, kidei lekabel es havlad, in order to contain an embryo. Then the verse says, "Vayivieo el ha'adam, Amar Rebbe Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Malavit Shenasa Kadosh Baruch Hu Shvinin Liyadam Arishon," that God was in charge of making all the wedding arrangements, the shushvina, like the best man who takes care of the arrangements for the first man, for Adam Arishon. And we can't limda Torah derechetz. We should follow in the footsteps of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheyachzar gadol im katan b'shushvinus v'al yiralo. That this is derech eretz for an important person to make the wedding arrangements for a person of lower rank, and it should not disturb him to do so. He shouldn't feel it's a p'chisas ha'kavod, it's beneath his dignity. Because if God did this for man, then certainly a gadol could do it for a katan. And this was the shushminus of HaKadosh Baruch, as I mentioned before, in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, there's a description of the malachim dancing at this wedding. The Gemara now returns to the machlokes about the tzela, that appendage from which Chava was fashioned, the Lamandi Yomer parts of, if you go to Mandi Yomer, who says that this tzela was a parts of, she had her own countenance, is Minayu Sagi Bereisha, which one of them went up front, which was the Ochar, and which was the Mifnim. Let's see it this way, which was Kedem and which was Achar, which would lead up front and schlep along the other one who's in the back. And the Gemara says, Amrab Nachum Bar Yitzchak Mistabra, it's logical to assume the Gavra Sagi Bereisha, the male went first, to Sanyul Olehalech Odom Achore Isha Baderech. A person should not walk behind a woman in the street. But I don't know if that would apply here exactly when they're attached in both directions. Anyway, afilu ishto, even if it's his own wife. And what that means is, to walk behind a woman is a little bit lustful. You know, you gaze at her body from the back. So a man is permitted to gaze at his own wife. Nevertheless, he shouldn't walk behind her as a matter of etiquette. And therefore the male figure in the original creation of man walked in the front and the female behind. And even though they were facing away from each other, they couldn't gaze at each other. Nevertheless, this was setting a pattern for Derech Eretz. Now it says, Nizdamnalo al hagesher, if a woman happens to be in front of him on a bridge, there's not enough room to move to the side, and yet he also want to walk directly behind her, is he salkedol itzdadim? You know, he should pass her and walk somehow in front of her. So I don't think we have to take this Gemara literally that he should push her over to the side, chas v'shalom. No, it means he should pass her and have her behind him if he can. Again, he might have to walk a little faster in order to pass her on the side if he can. But it's interesting that here the Brisa doesn't mention this ruling with regard to his own wife as it did earlier. So if he's walking on a bridge behind a married woman other than his wife, he's required to move past her, walk in front of her. But if he's behind his own wife, he's not obligated to do so. In other words, he's not walking behind his own wife in general as etiquette, but in a more serious case, and he's on a bridge, I don't think that would be a violation of etiquette, but in a more serious prohibition of gazing lustfully at a woman, there he's required to go out of his way to try to move in front of this woman. But he's not required to go out of his way to move in front of his own wife. The Gemara gives you a real zetz, a real, almost an exaggeration here to emphasize that you don't want to be gazing at a woman from behind, you know, when she passes, let's say, Benar, maybe she's wading through the river, maybe she's washing the clothing, and she bends down. All this has to be avoided like the plague. Because someone who indulges in this kind of behavior and he wants to get a look and gaze her while she's maybe, you know, when she doesn't want to get her clothing wet, so she lifts up her clothing and so forth. I don't want to get into detail. But anyway, we judge him very severely because he's indulging in behavior that could lead even to perhaps adultery. And Tana Rabbanan Hamaratze Mos Leisha Miyado Liyado, if he's counting out money for a woman from his hand, and from his hand into her hand, Kedelis Takilva, and he enjoys gazing at her, is Afili Yeshbiyo the Torah Umasim Tovim Kemosh Rabbeinu, no matter how great his Torah is and how good his deeds are. He's like Moshe Rabbeinu, who received the Torah at Har Sinai. Lo Yinoke Midina Shel Gehenna. He will not be spared the judgment of Gehenna. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Yod Li Yod Lo Yinoke Ra, hand to hand, he will not be spared from evil. Lo yinoke midina shel Gehenna. Says the pasuk in Mishle, he will not be spared the judgment of Gehenna. Omer of Nachman, Manoach amaretz haya. The father of Shimshon Manoach was an ignorant man. Tetziv vayelech Manoach achrei ishto. He followed behind his wife. And Maskev Leir of Nachbar Barab Yitzchak El Meata, if you're saying that he followed means he walked behind her, and you're taking it literally, is Gabi Elkanah Detsiv Ayelech Elkanah Reishno. Now, Elkanah was the father of Shmuel, and it says Elkanah followed his wife. Or, for example, Gabi Elisha, Ksiv Ayokam Ayelech Achreha. You know, he went behind her. Is Hachinami Achreha Mama? She's taking this literally, that Elisha walked behind her. She was another man's wife. And this is a pasuk in Malachim. El achrei dvarei v'achrei atzasa. Sometimes you respect your wife or another woman, and you follow her words, you follow her advice. Hachinami here too in the case of Manoach. Achrei dvarei v'achrei atzasa. He followed her words and he followed her advice. It doesn't mean that he's an ignorant man. Omar Rav Ashi. Ulamanti Omar, Ulamanti Komar Rav Nachman Manoach Amaretz Haya. If Rav Nachman was correct that Manoach was an ignorant person, he actually walked behind his wife, is Afilu Be Rav Nami Lo Kora. Then Manoach didn't read scriptures in school, because it says, Vatokam Rivka Vinaroseha, Rivka rose with her maidens, Vater Kavna Alag Molim, and they rode upon the camels, Vatelachno Achrei Ha'ish. And they proceeded after the man, after Eliezer. Lo lifnei ha'ish, not in front of the man. So did Manoach not even know a pasuk in Chumash? On Rabbi Yochanan, achorei ariv lo achorei isha. It's even better to go behind a lion than to walk behind a woman. So in other words, if the only reason for Rivka to follow Eliezer was so that Eliezer could show her the way to his master's house, it would be unnecessary for the verse to mention that Eliezer went first. The Torah specifically relates that Rebekah followed Eliezer to teach us that there's a deeper significance to the order in which they rode. Achorei isha, v'lo achorei avodas kochav. Better to go behind a woman than to go behind an idol. And achorei avodas kochav, v'lo achorei beis hakneses. It's better to go behind an idol, but not to go behind the synagogue, b'shosh atzivim mispalim, when they're praying. Because if you pass the entrance of the synagogue when the congregation is engaged in prayer, you don't enter. It sounds like you're demonstrating disdain for prayer. And this could be perceived, chas shalom, as a denial of the efficacy of prayer. from a lack of belief in the ability of God to influence events. Such an attitude is even worse than that of idolatry, which may involve belief in a number of powers, but not a complete denial of God. We didn't say this, that one must not pass by the synagogue while they're praying, except when he is not carrying anything. If he's carrying something, then less than ba. People who realize that he's busy with what he's doing, he's carrying, he's moving, he's schlepping, they're not going to think that he's denying God or anything like that. And this only applies when there's only one entrance to the synagogue. Ika pischachrina leslam, but if there's another entrance, that's not a problem, because people realize he's not going in through this entrance, he'll go through the next. Lo amarin ella delo raviv chamra. Except where he's not riding a donkey, Aval Rachiv Chamra Leslan Bar, right? He's in an automobile, or he's on a horse, he's on a donkey, there's no objection. People realize that he's busy on the, you know, on his way, he's en route. V'lo amar in el delo manach tefillin. And we wouldn't say this unless he's not wearing tefillin. Manach tefillin Leslan Bar. Obviously, if he's wearing tefillin, then he believes in God, he's a pious person, and he's not the type of person who would deny tefillah. Okay then, so we'll stop here. We're up to Amar Rav, which is pretty much the two dots, about three lines up from the bottom of Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph.